love this podcast? Head to patreon.com/DATC Media Company to find out how you can show your support. DATC Media is very excited to be a Nugs.net official affiliate. Never miss the show. Nugs.net allows you to stream live concert audio and video in their app anytime, anywhere. Listen to last night's show with premium sound quality and official soundboard recordings. Watch a stacked archive of past live performances from countless artists and access future subscriber-exclusive live streams. Easily keep track of your tour highlights with shareable playlists and more. Take a scroll through and you'll quickly see why Nugs.net is my favorite app. Link in show notes to start your 7-day free trial. Nugs.net, where live music lives.
Come to my church. I promise you, the gospel is great, right? So I like the kind of path we're starting to play with it a little bit, just because it is like music changes everybody's lives every single day. Is the one thing that universally, especially in our culture, you worship at some point in your day, almost every single day.
A member of the DATC Media family. Greetings, fellow music enthusiasts. Welcome to Dropped Among This Crowd podcast. This is your space to explore the role of music in our lives, our love for it, and the sense of community that it creates. Each episode of the show will feature a diverse selection of topics and insightful conversations revolving around three core themes: music, community, and Umphrey's McGee. I'm your host, Sarah J., and I'm thrilled to have you along for the ride. Are you prepared for what comes next? Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for this week of Dropped Among This Crowd. I'm your host, Sarah J. And actually, now that I realize it, it is the 250th episode of Dropped Among This Crowd podcast. I don't really know what to say about that right this minute. I'm going to need to reflect on that a little bit now after I'm done recording here. That is a whole lot of levels of mind-blowing awesomeness. Holy shit. Wow. Anyway, thank you for listening to this or any of the other episodes that have come out over the past, since 2018? So I don't even know. Quick math off the top of my head. But wow, that's just incredible to quickly scan through the things that I've done here on the show, the conversations I've had, the things that have morphed because of the show, where everything is now personally, professionally. My goodness, a lot has happened in those 250 episodes. So before I get way too emotional about it, and maybe I will do a special episode over on my Patreon about that. But yeah, I just want to just express so much gratitude to everyone who has listened to the show, supported the show, been on the show. Just thank you so much. It's been incredible, and I'm super excited for what is to come in the next 250 episodes. So fuck yeah. Anyway, I hope you were able to check out last week's fresh episode where I chatted with La Special drummer Rory Dolan. We had such a great conversation. We talked about a lot, so much. So check that out if you haven't. Rory is just such an awesome dude. And like I said, we had so much fun talking. So definitely give that a listen if you haven't. And another great conversation on deck this week for you. This time I am joined by the guys in brand new Denver-based band Polisanto. And before we get to that, quick little bit of Umphrey's news for you. Hall of Fame 2023 voting is now opened. That was announced yesterday, if you're listening to this, when it drops. So the post came on April Fool's Day, and it wasn't a joke. It was an actual post. I know yesterday I personally was just trying to not be on the internet at all. I think there was one or two things that I had to definitely double check because I was like, damn it. But no, that was definitely a legitimate post. The Hall of Fame 2023 voting is now open. You can cast your votes until April 20th at 11:59 p.m. hof.umphreys.com, or I will throw the link in the show notes. I will also throw a link for my 2023 Hall of Fame highlights nugs.net playlist in the show notes. That contains 238 songs, which should help you out if you need with filling out your ballot. I do have some other 2023 highlights. I have my New Year's highlights, so I will throw a link for that too. I didn't converge those two lists yet. So that should give you some good research material for 2023 if you are needing some help filling the spots of your ballot. I'm currently working on my final votes. I have two more spots to fill, and I don't want to reveal yet what's on my ballot. So expect an episode coming soon where I will, of course, share my final votes. And feel free to share your votes with me on social media, tag the show, or feel free to tag me as well. I would love to see what your votes are. And if I get enough folks that share, perhaps I will read them here on the show. We'll see. Another quick little bit of news reminder, perhaps you've seen the post or you heard this in last week's episode. If you're going to be in Minneapolis in a few weeks for the two nights at First Ave, why not take a short 3-minute walk over to Gluck's after night one on Friday, April 12th for Sarah J Presents, Jake Derringer Project featuring Jake Sinegar, an official Umphrey's McGee after party. Tickets are now on sale. Link in the show notes or head to datcmediacompany.com. And there is a little either it'll pull down if you're on your phone or if you're on your laptop, it'll be up on the top and it'll say Sarah J Presents. And you can click there and all of the tickets for any of the shows that I am involved with, you can find them there. All right, so let's dive into this week's episode with my guests, Luke, Mitch, Skylar, and Heartland from Polisanto. We had such a blast in our conversation, and we covered a lot. The time went by so fast, I couldn't believe that we were on the Zoom call almost 2 hours. We get to know a little bit about each of the guys and how they all came together only 10 months ago. A lot has happened in that short amount of time for these guys, including a lineup change, being on the bill for Soulshine Music Festival's On the Road series at Cervantes, working on music with Mike Ganser, and what the process of writing and preparing for recording their first album looks like. Heartland professes his Umphrey's love, sharing a hilarious story about sending Jake some hats and repping his favorite band proudly on the spring 2024 cover of MTM Lifestyle magazine. Mitch shares his connection to the very first time that Weird Fish's Arpeggi by Radiohead was played at summer school back in 2012. That's a really fun story. Can't wait for you guys to hear that one. each of the guys elaborate more on their own journey with Umphrey's music, the role it's played in their lives individually, creatively, as well as professionally. We talk about the significance of music in our lives and how the term jam band can perhaps be a turnoff for some people, and maybe using improvisational music, with air quotes, may actually change some of the stigma that kind of surrounds jam band music. So just a lot of really great, great conversation topics with these guys. This was just so much fun. They also fill us in on what's on the calendar in 2024, including their first show in Fort Collins, Colorado. The guys answer some really fun rapid-fire questions and so, so much more. This was so much fun. I can't say it enough. Such a pleasure to get to know these guys. And I mentioned at one point that I was legit crying from laughing, and that is the truth. This was just so, so much fun. Really excited to see what is in store for these guys. Definitely keep them on your radar. Where you can find them on social media and the interwebs are in the show notes.
In a very cool new addition to the Much Obliged podcast, The Yellow Balloon Experience, we now have merch. So check out www.yujam.com and click on the Community Impact tab. We've got a Much Obliged shirt and a Much Obliged podcast, The Yellow Balloon Experience shirt. If you get the plain Much Obliged shirt, the money from that goes to the table, and that helps us buy more stickers and candy for shows. If you buy the podcast shirt, that helps us run this podcast. Can't wait to see you at a show in one of these shirts.
All right, y'all, I think we got time for one more song. Thanks again for coming out. We're Poli Santo. We hope you see you soon.
All right, well, here is my conversation with Mitch, Luke, Hartland, and Skylar from Poli Santo. Enjoy. I'm just loving the vibe that you guys have. So first of all, I want you to...
Thank you.
We're on like a Zoom call here, so you're in like a circle-y sort of thing to me. So just kind of go around and everybody introduce yourself and, you know, what is your instrument in the band?
Luke, you want to start things off over there?
Yeah, for sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's coming in good.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I'm Luke. I'm the drummer. Yeah, I've been playing for like 20 years, but I'm stoked to be playing in this band, honestly. Been making some great strides this year.
Amen to that. Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I want to vouch for that.
Like that. I love that. Yeah. Go ahead. Six.
Is that me?
You, yep. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Hartland. Hartland Brown. I'm on bass. Yeah, huge Umphrey's fan, obviously. I mean, like everything I've got on, I usually have at least something on when I'm playing on stage. We actually got a magazine picture of us for Vail and like literally completely decked to the nines and Umphrey's. So huge fan, even when we're playing music.
I saw that. I love that so much.
But it's been awesome. Like we've been playing together 10 months. Everybody we run into is so supportive. Like everybody's been just so much fun to play with, you know, in the local music scene in Denver. And then just everybody you run into, people that just bump into at shows and keep coming back. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Any of the videos that I was watching of you guys, the crowd is just not only just like into it, but just the energy that even you can feel from watching the videos. You're like, that says something. You're not
For
even
sure.
there and
Appreciate
you can
it.
still,
Oh,
you know,
dude.
like feel that energy. It's that says something about your playing and what you guys are bringing.
We wouldn't be able
Appreciate
to
that.
do what we do unless the crowd was into it.
For
They
sure,
provide a
for
lot of
sure,
the, to
for
be
sure.
fair, that's for sure. I'm gonna say I would still be really fucking into it. But
Yeah,
obviously,
me
like
too. Just say
with
the
like
two.
seeing people like getting into it, obviously you're that much more stoked
Yeah.
about it for sure.
You
I think
probably
it's
know.
great.
So me and my friend, when they were doing the $20 to meet one of them for 20 minutes during COVID, we hopped on a call. And at the very end of it, I was like, Jake, why do you wear hats? And he's like, hey, the lights just get in my face, you know, like I just like having a hat on. I'm like, can I send you a hat? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. I'm like, cool, what's your address? And like he didn't think about it. He just gave two strangers on a webcam his address. And immediately, you know, we're both like writing it down. We're like, sick, we're gonna send you some hats. And right after he did that, he was like, man, that was probably not the best move. You could see it in his face. He was like, ah. But then, yeah, the first order we did like a bunch of weird stuff, like, you know, like the stuff from SpongeBob, two beer cans and like clappers and stuff on top of hats.
I love that
And
so much.
he,
That's
every
funny.
time we would send him a ton of them and he would just ignore them until like a baseball cap showed up or something.
Yeah. He's like,
Something
oh,
you
you
could
can
know he's
actually
got a
use.
closet. I know. So I know he's got a closet of really weird hats,
Were
but
you thinking he would wear one of those on stage ever? Was that like the goal
he does
there or
have
what?
three kids, so maybe one of those is getting worn somewhere.
It was like a spray and pray, right? Like we were just like, if we send him a ton of hats, he's definitely going to wear one of them.
It's a crapshoot. It's a, you know, give or
Exactly.
take. I love it though. He has a great sense of humor, so I'm sure he appreciated it. I love it.
Yeah, super awesome guy. Tons of fun to be on a video call with.
All right, you too. You're up.
My name's Skyler. I play guitar and sang in the band along with Mitch. We kind of have a, we both do a little bit of the same thing. But I've been playing music for I don't know, about 10 to 15 years, somewhere in that range. I don't know. I grew up going to jam band shows and festivals from the age of like 6, you know, so I've always been exposed to the community. I don't know, just kind of fell in love with it early on and been playing in bands ever since high school pretty consistently. Definitely excited to be in this one as well. A lot of good things going on here.
I love the vibe that you guys just have, and so after all the introductions are done, I'm excited to dive into how you guys all came together. I just love your just your energy of the four of you.
Yeah, I definitely like to think that comes through with the music too. So yeah, it's definitely been sounding, feeling
For
really
sure.
good. Similar thing, guitar and vocals along with Skylar. Name is Mitch, and I've been like kind of Luke's board for about like 20 years. I actually started on violin, graduated to guitar, and been dabbling in some other stuff as well. But yeah, I've just like discovered the scene like way later in life because, to be honest, like from like a super church going family and like some Zappa CDs and stuff I was trying to buy back in the day, like nah, can't listen to that, meh. And so when I finally started
Especially
actually,
Zappa, that went over real well, I'm sure.
yeah, it just didn't, unfortunately. So but
Featuring
like
Why Does It Hurt When I Pee?
I was and Catholic girls, but I mean with like getting more into guitar, like I actually got lessons. And then, you know, homework was basically like, oh, you know, the Zeppelin tune and all that stuff. So like sick. So that was kind of like the way in. And I found out, you know, just more about like classic rock stuff led to like a more jazz kind of obsession. And the Dead led me to Phish, which led me to Umphrey's. And so yeah, when actually similar thing. I think I've been seeing those guys since 2009. My first Umphrey show was on my 18th birthday and just absolutely hooked like since then. That summer just like bought every studio album possibly could by those guys, and through them like I've been able to meet just like so many great people I still get to hang out with and like talk with and see. So definitely love that about them too.
That's been my big thing, and for me, that was one of the biggest reasons why I started my podcast back in 2018. was because I was a stay-at-home mom and I liked this band, and no other stay-at-home moms at school and whatever. And I was super weird and I needed a place to connect with people. And I went to shows, but I didn't have my community, you know? And through this show, and especially during COVID, like it was amazing to have already had 2 years of this show and then have to go through something like that, especially in the live music industry and what that did for everybody that goes to shows or relies on shows for their livelihood. And, you know, it not only helped me, but helped other people during that time and just what it's morphed to now. And it was just because I needed that community. I needed those people. And I knew they were out there because I was at shows and I was like, I see you motherfuckers, but like, I want to get to know you. I want to talk to you. And so that's been the beautiful thing about this show is I've been able to just meet so many incredible people that are now, some of them are like my people, ride or dies. And it's because I've met them through this band. Like the community is just really special. It really is.
You could really say that about the whole jam band scene as a whole as well. Like, I would
Yeah.
say that all the best people that came into my life have been through music connections,
Music,
playing in bands
100%.
or seeing shows. So I 100%
100%.
feel that.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think there's really anybody in my life aside from anybody that's like, you know, blood related, that I didn't meet through like, oh yeah, I met you at like summer camp that year or whatever, you know,
Right.
whatever, you know, it's like there's just that underlying connection. Maybe if our heart band isn't the same, you know, I have some friends that are like die hard fish and they just don't like Humphries at all, but it's just we have that connection of the
Right
live
here.
music. Yeah, we have that connection of the live music and you know just what that means, like really what that underlying root kind of mentality is, I guess you could say, you know.
Got
Yeah,
to
I grew up
everybody the
right
same
next to
place.
Red Rocks, so that's like
Oh,
what we
I bet
did.
that was painful.
Oh yeah, no, it was wild. You just go check them out. Like I did, like I was kind of like Mitch. I didn't start getting into like, music till I was like 18 or so. And you just, we would just go down to Red Rocks and just see who was playing on a Saturday night and buy a $40 ticket. And eventually you stumble across, like Cheese, Railroad Earth, and everybody who's just kind of wandering through. And it was a really cool way to start to, grow up in the jam scene, meet all of the wonderful people in your community you've never bumped into because that's, that's where they are.
What a very fortunate place to cut your teeth at. That's something that some people only ever wish to go and see a concert there. So that's
It's
really, really
incredible.
fortunate for
It spoils you. Like you go to other places and you're like, man, you guys could like use a Red Rocks.
sure.
No
No offense or anything, but
offense.
no
I
offense.
will say our indoor venue game has been absolute trash forever, though. Like First Bank Center is just
Let's
terrible.
hold on.
Mission
Let's hold
Park,
on. I was
come
about
on.
to say, yeah, the Mission's fucking incredible.
It's
Like, I love
brand new.
that
It's like
place.
3 years
Yeah.
old. When you were
Doesn't
18,
matter.
you were going to like
Montes,
crappy little bars.
you got Cervantes, Bluebird's freaking great as well. There's a few. There's a few that are good here. More than a few, I would argue.
I've always wanted to go to the Gorge, though.
The Gorge is on my bucket
Oh,
list.
yeah.
I have not gotten there
Same.
yet. That's definitely on my bucket list. But I feel like the bands that I would go to see, it would have to be some sort of like, I don't know, mega something, you know, like I'm realistic. Humphries is not gonna do that by themselves. I'm
But
not
even
saying
just like a,
you can't. I don't like that
yeah,
word, but
they've had borderline festivals there of just like even a day or night fest or something like that, like bringing in a bunch of different bands. So yeah, I would
I
obviously
mean, that I
love
think they
that.
could do, and I'd be down for that. I think that would be gorgeous for
Yeah,
sure.
we'll play there someday and then we'll get there.
And
Hell yeah. All
it
right. We'll
drag
go.
Humphries
We'll
into it.
go.
Co-bill with Humphries.
Well, listen, I am so for the speaking it into existence kind of thing. So, you know, if you want like vision boards and stuff, I'm
It
your
out there.
gal. So I'm
Love
serious.
that. Love that.
I'm like all about it. My kids are like, Mom, and then it happens, and then I'm like, what are you gonna say? I wasn't wrong. We did it. We manifested it. What do you
Just say it over and over and over again, ad nauseum.
Yep. So you guys mentioned that you've only been together, what, 10 months, you said?
Yeah, May of last year.
10 months.
Okay, yeah, yep. Okay. Yeah, so how did you all come together?
Craigslist. largely Craigslist. And
that is how I met Mitch, but I met him well before I met the other two guys.
And then I met Heartland on Craigslist. I want to say Luke and I met on Bandmix.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that was the only exception. Outside of that, Craigslist.
I love that. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, Mitch and I played in a band together a few years ago called Alpha Pegasi. It was like Mitch's solo project kind of thing. I mean, obviously he could speak for that better than me. So we met that way and played together for quite a while. Then he ended up moving away, moved back, and we decided to start this band and happened to meet two other amazing individuals, Heartland and Luke, and got the thing rolling.
Nice. I like that. So I was, you know, being a stalker on your social media. So you guys did have a keys player when you started out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then AJ. He just was not his thing. He was going to go and do other things, and that's cool. Yes. And so is that something you think you'll fill in? Is that Definitely. Something that you think you're sound? Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Eventually. We're jam kids. You got to have six players, right?
Yeah.
Five. But I mean, if we
no, could, we'll get an auxiliary percussionist.
Yeah, so there you go.
Five's way more important than right now. But for the time being, I will say it's odd. Like, I do miss the like overall sound of it. And kudos to AJ for like even like nothing against the kid, but even like trying to keep up. Because Luke and I have been playing for 20 years. Heart like Sky's 15. Heart's probably at least double digits as well. That guy had been playing for like 2 or 3 years. And so you're just kicking him into the deep end. And he was like able to like at least like keep up a little bit, but like in his words, it was just like it was like too much for him at the time trying to do that, trying to grow as a keys player, much less vocally, have a relationship, this full-time demanding job. So it was a little much, and like appreciate the contribution, but it's odd. Like, I do miss the guy as a human and like that overall sound, but the way we've been able to like write, you know, just a bunch of material since then, and like some more complex stuff that we kind of like can do now, I do think it's like oddly kind of beneficial right now. But yeah, I definitely would love to get another keys and like synth player going.
Nice.
It was awesome to watch everybody kind of like what's been really good is keys provide such a soundscape, you know, like people like Joel, Kyle Hollingsworth and stuff, and they play, they fill a lot of space. And when, you know, we'd been playing together for probably 6 months by the time we lost AJ, and, you know, again, it was awesome. None of us wanted him to leave. He just decided to take off on his own. But when he did, immediately all of us are like, wow, there's a lot less noise. So watching, you know, four people compensate for a complete missing instrument was a lot of fun. And I think we've done a great job at it. Like, everybody, you know, stepped up. Started playing a little more dynamically, started sitting in the music a little differently to fill that space. And it was a really cool experience to be a part of. Because you're sitting there like, you know, he's not playing over me anymore. Everybody can hear everything I'm doing. And I'm not doing as much as I think I should.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, I mean, it's good, though, that he didn't try to just push it. You know, he was just like, listen, this is obviously, I love you guys. And this is cool and fun, but it's just not. And that's okay.
And he was actually at like our first show at Cervantes, and like you know, just showing up, like, you know, still like, you know, just getting
showing
down in the crowd
support.
And stuff. So
yeah
again, yes,
hell yeah,
definitely a good dude. Yeah, definitely appreciate that it was like that as opposed to like a bitter thing. So yeah, just
absolutely.
Like yeah, at least fortunately still friends with the guy too, which yeah, definitely
for
appreciate
sure.
It.
For sure.
It is like having four additional girlfriends too. So, you know, I get it. Like when you're 3 years into playing music and you're like, I'm still trying to figure it out. And I'm dealing with all your guys' personalities and emotions constantly while I'm learning. Like it can definitely become a lot.
It can be overwhelming when you have your own life and day-to-day responsibilities and things you have to show up for. It's like, yeah. So it's kudos to him for being mature enough to just say that and not, you know, string you guys along either, so that's
definitely
awesome. But hopefully he's able to contribute to the band in maybe another way or a little bit further down when he's a little more experience, he can come and play. Yeah. Who knows?
No,
who knows?
Just like, even again, just like nobody having knows. Him show up. Yeah. Like, yeah, definitely appreciate that. And it was funny because of that guy and obviously everybody else who came, we played at Cervantes for like the Battle of the Bands to win at summer spot at Summer Camp or Soulshine. And this band that has a headlining show coming up there, they've already played at the ballroom, manager, booking agent, thousands more followers. We thought we were just going to get crushed. We ended up losing by one vote to those guys. Again, that guy obviously was a part of it. So with his support, everybody else coming out, that was, definitely a really good evening. Something to build off.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So how do you think that being in the music area, the music scene that you are, do you think that helps or hinders you guys getting gigs and exposure?
You mean being in a jam band?
Yeah.
I would say in terms of record sales and that sort of thing, when we start doing more of our recording, it'll definitely hinder a little bit, I would think, just in terms of like charting, like a traditional band, that kind of thing. If that's what you mean.
I do think
it's really good for getting gigs, honestly. Like, we haven't really had an issue with that at all.
No, and, you don't think that, like...
Denver scene's really into it.
Yeah, I'm curious because, I live outside Buffalo, New York. And so we obviously are not... And I don't want to say oversaturated because that's not really the right word, but... When you're out in Denver, you're out in Colorado, and you're out in whatever, there's going to be many more jam bands per capita than there are in Buffalo. And so that's why I've always wondered, with you guys being as new as you are, I wondered how that has been for you. You're not having an issue. People are just like, yes, we just want this type of music in here every night, and so it's not a problem. Or, I'm just really kind of curious how it is for that, a new band.
Fortunately, a very good problem we've had is like having to say no to shows. Nice. We're just like, as of late, the mentality has been of just like, all right, let's really just focus on recording, try to get the single out there, try to get the album out there. And I think we've maybe reached out to like 3 or 4 venues actually asking for a gig, and we're like over a dozen shows later of just like different bands like, hey, I like your sound, you guys want to play a gig with us? We got an opening spot. Are you guys free on this date? Like, so many other bands from literally just like following them, interacting with them, having some comments, or just like, this guy's kind of sound good too. And we've had like so many gigs from it, and so many gigs coming in that it's just like, oh, now we got a radius clause, so we can't do this gig, and like that kind of thing is showing up.
Really
which
good
is,
problem to have.
And I would say that's like the big part is like the community has just been amazing. Like Mitch said, like people just keep reaching out to us. At no point is there like a competitive thing. We were even in a battle of the bands, right? And everybody that showed up, we played with a bunch of them before. Everybody was watching each other's sets. Everybody was super into the music. There wasn't a whole lot of competitiveness to it other than, obviously we want to win, but we're still here to see you. We want you guys to do well. We all want to come back to this venue. It's a great venue. And it's just constantly like that, constantly having people reach out to us, reaching out to other people and getting a lot of good responses. The community here is just amazing. And everybody's, there's tons of bands playing a show every other week. So there's places for us to slot in all over the place. It's really cool and fun.
It's really great. So let's talk about the name of your band and where does that come from? I like this look. Nobody is going to see the video, but I'm going to mention that the two of you. That was great. That was great. So,
There's multiple takes you can have on that.
Okay.
I guess the meaning we kind of agreed on is that it means the saint of many, essentially. That music is the saint of many. Cassandra being a saint in a Latin kind of... Polly being many.
Okay, yeah, that was my assumption. That's what I had actually in my notes. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
That's one of them. That originally it came off like Skylar kind of like thinking about fusing like Palo Santo, like a really good sweet smelling wood, gets rid of bad juju, it's just like good for karma, all that stuff. And the idea of polyrhythms in music, like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, just both of those going at the same time. So like fusing those two together, that's another one. So we got a couple there.
That's where I initially came from.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, and then you
like
you start listening to it and you're like, hey, it does say many saints on paper.
does. We're like, we might as well have run with it now, I guess.
Right. So we've played with that a lot, like but it's got a good overtone to it, you know. Like every time I take somebody to Umphrey's, I literally tell them, like, here, come to my church, like, come experience what I do to pray. Like, come to my church. I promise you, the gospel is great, right? So I like the kind of path we're starting to play with it a little bit, just because it is like music changes everybody's lives every single day. Is the one thing that universally, especially in our culture, you worship at some point in your day, almost every single day.
So you guys mentioned Cervantes, and you were part of the Soul Shine on the Road tour.
Yeah.
So talk about that some more.
So that was fucking rad. Like, so many reasons. I think I don't want to speak for the rest of the guys in the band, but I think that was, like, one, the best show, two, the most enjoyable, and, like, three, like, one of the most crucial ones, because, like, that place, just seeing dozens of shows there and then finally actually stepping on stage, that was, like, such a good view, and actually have, like, you know, a pretty good turnout. You know, I think that's probably the most people we played for, like, indoors so far. So being able to, like, have that and be a part of, like, just a connection to, like, Soulshine and Scamp, because that's been, personally at least, my favorite festival for, like, over a decade. I love that place so much. And so I think it, allegedly, if we get, like, one more fan next year, or, like, you know, a couple more people to show, would win a spot there at least. And so, I mean, fortunately, obviously, that's not, like, the only route for it. My really good friend who got me out to Colorado, Greg King from Squeaky Feet, like, those guys just got it because they're really fucking good and have just been booking around a bunch. And so obviously that's, like, of the festivals out there, that is easily, like, the one to want to play at most, for sure.
Yeah.
I'd have to second that with Peach, personally, but grew up going to a lot of Peach Fest. So
I've never been to Peach Fest.
Peach is awesome.
But I have, like, a lot of history with Summer Camp, all the way back to 2008. Like, lot of history with that festival. Oh, yeah. It's got a very dear place in my heart, that festival does. So,
yeah, there was the first year I actually went, I got to, like, twofer the Umphrey's summer events. So I got to go to summer camp and then summer school as well that year. So that was a really cool twofer.
Yeah. I wish they would bring summer school back. I think that would just be such a really cool opportunity for musicians and people that want to work in the industry again. It was a really cool thing, for sure.
Yeah, come learn from rock stars.
Definitely.
Like, conceptually, like, easily one of the coolest things.
It really, really, really was.
Cervantes' event that we got to play, the Soulshine thing, too. I was really impressed at, like, just the talent they brought out, too. Like, just being in the same room as a lot of the bands that they brought on felt like an honor, right? Like, even if nobody showed up for us, we didn't even get to play. The other bands that we got to see and that they lumped us in with were just, they were fitting. Phenomenal. It was six just absolute heater bands, one after another, and it was so cool to be a part of that and kick it off for the night and have that be, like, an association with us as well.
Let's talk about your new single that you're working on with Mike Answer from Aqueous and Death Kings, very good friend of mine. So how did Answer get involved in the mix here?
Well, basically through Instagram, I saw a post of his, and he mentioned, although he has a lot of cool projects going on, that he has some free time, was looking to pick up some like mixing service work kind of stuff. So we sent him an email and we started talking to him back and forth a bit about what we're doing, sent him a couple of our demos. He seemed to dig it. So we're going to work with him on the first song and see how it goes. Definitely looking forward to it. I mean, he's one of my favorite guitarists in the scene and always been a big influence on me. So definitely stoked to have the opportunity to work with him.
Awesome. He's such a great guy. And it's funny when, you know, people will talk about him and I'm like, I remember when he was playing, like, these little tiny bars in Buffalo, like 20 years ago now, which is just crazy to, like, think about. Time is just such a mind fuck. But It's just when people are like, oh yeah, cancer, and it's just like, oh my god, look at you, you're such a rock star now. It's like, you know, I remember when that was not the case, but it's the humblest
everybody
guy,
starts
you know,
there.
Like, you know, he's not a rock star, he's not at all, he's just one of the kindest, most, you know, gentlest souls ever. He's just so awesome. So as soon as I saw that and the stuff you sent over, I'm like, oh, this is so cool. What a fun little connection here. This is great. So that's really exciting that you guys are getting to work with him.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I would love to at least like Skype or Zoom with him. Hopefully, ideally, even just like meet him in person. Because again, like Greg from Squeaky Feet, he was just talking with me. I think Ganser himself reached out. Like Squeaky opened up for Aqueous at the Bluebird back in the day, and Mike just reached out to Greg. He was just like, "Dude, yeah, I really dig your guitar playing. Also, see his skate. You want to just hit up the park?" And he was just like, "Okay." And so they just like hit up the Denver skate park. We're just like shredding a bunch before the show. And yep. So again, to like have that guy just like reach out as opposed to like, nah, I'm too important, I'm gonna like scales or like, you know, drinking before the show. It's way more important than like trying to like meet anybody, you know. That guy, it seems like, you know, he's just a really good human. So again, hope to meet him someday.
Yeah, he really is. Yes, that's awesome. You guys are working together. So you guys just have the one song right now you're working on. How is the rest of the album that you're working on coming along?
Say it's pretty lofty, good. Lofty goals in general. But yeah,
I love it.
I mean, we've been playing together 10 months, and just the rate of churn, you know, even like, you know, when AJ left, he took a couple of songs he'd written and stuff like that, but we've still like managed to write since then probably 4 or 5 songs. And before that, you know, a lot of these guys were coming to the table with like 3, 4 in the first place. So to be a band that's 10 months old and be able to fill like a 2-hour set list, first of all, is like just all your own material, just jam it out, give everybody solos. It's a really cool experience. And then having that ability to say like, yes, we can totally record an album. It's just, it's awesome. You're not like recording one song as you write it. You've got a whole pile of them, and all you got to do is get them on tape and tweak them a little bit where you criticize yourself as you're listening back to it and stuff like that.
Is that the loft behind you?
This would be the loft.
That's a recording studio,
it's
right?
It's the loft.
I love it.
It's pretty decent these days.
I like it.
But yeah, no. So hopefully most of the recordings are going to come from here, just because I don't like to drive all the way to anybody else's house. But Luke's actually got a very similar setup in his living room. So we've got ample spaces to get everything tracked out to, so that we can send them out for mixing. It's pretty cool.
Yep. Nice. I'm probably going to track most of my guitars at our house. And we actually have a closet. We're going to try to turn it into a vocal booth for the vocal takes. So.
Luke, that guy actually has a pretty interesting like take on the album as well. I've never really thought about doing this, but I believe he's going to be like tracking acoustically and electrically to see like which one kind of fits the song best, or maybe even including both parts of them, if you maybe want to speak to that, buddy.
Yeah,
I think we're gonna record it with the electrical drums first, just to get the scratch takes on it. But ideally, we want to mic the acoustic kit. I think it sounds better. And I don't know if I can speak for these guys, but they've commented it can sound better. So
I definitely agree.
Plus, he's got a great enclosure for it.
Yeah.
Just something.
And he's like, you know, he's like, his setup is awesome too. So we definitely want to get him to use it. He's got, instead of like the standard stands and stuff, he's got all the pipes and everything like you see on like the big professional kits. It's like, it's always a shame when, yeah, exactly. Like he's got like his battle station. And it's just always a shame when we're playing with like headphones and squeaky toys compared to just like the big setup when he's like sitting back there on his throne.
For sure. For sure.
Agreed.
Yeah. You got to have the whole, I agree too.
I do definitely absolutely love how that like one looks and sounds, especially if we can get like some rototoms going. Those things are sick. But I mean, maybe even getting like some samples and stuff like electric wise, just like spice it up here and there. I think that could be cool too.
Yeah, we've got all the space. We've got all the tech. We can just bounce from house to house and record. So hopefully this thing's going to crack out pretty fast.
Excited. You were saying that you were taking a break from some shows while you're focusing on this album, but you do have some shows on the calendar including your first show in Fort Collins. So talk about that.
That I'm really stoked for in particular because yet another actually that Fort Collins show came out of Cervantes. So nice. There's another Umfreak. I feel like you might know Mama McGee, Elise. She's in the scene.
She's a very good friend of mine. Yeah. I love that girl. Oh,
we met her literally right before we were going to go on. We're just like backstage, and like the backstage, it just like leads into like it has a little staircase so you can just step on stairs. And so we met Elise right back there, and I was like, yeah, I saw you at the Squeaky Feet show and like a couple other ones like running merch. And so we got talking with her, and she was just like, yeah, you know, run like, you know, this and that, especially for like some Mishawaka stuff. And it was just like, oh, God, seems like really, really rad. And like, you know, it was just somehow 830 North came up as one of the venues that the Mishawaka is connected with, like 830 North, 100 Nickel. Is another one. I'm pretty sure like Chipper's Lanes might even be connected with those guys, but I'm pretty sure the Mishawaka might own them, or at least it's kind of like a springboard of just like, all right, can these guys actually play? Do they potentially have a bit of a buzz or like a draw? Maybe could we have them as like, you know, an opening band for like, you know, someone down the line at Mish? So that one,
huge opportunity.
That one I'm really, really stoked about again, especially because of like, you know, just the, I think connections and like opportunities that can like kind of come from it. But it's so funny and like, you know, the taking a break from shows phase. We have two coming up next weekend, another one after that, another one at the start of May, and then we're going to be playing in Fort Collins. So yeah, the I know it's
busy just, schedule.
But. So much yeah, for we're trying taking to find... a break from shows.
I know.
we're trying to find paper, out. But it just doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. But we're trying to find a balance because, you know, obviously if we keep getting deeper and deeper and we don't ever have anything recorded, you're going to hit a wall at some point, right? Like you got to get some way for your friends to actually show that like, yeah, I've got a friend with this band, but like, you know, they do a good job. Like, I don't just have a friend's band I'm giving you a CD for. Like, you should check them out. We can help people get excited by actually being able to hand out our music.
For sure. For
yeah.
Sure.
Just at least like a QR code, something for like a single album, anything. Like, once we actually have that, which is oddly enough, like, I would have been absolutely incredible to go, but maybe a good thing why we didn't win at summer camp this year. Because we, like, those guys, like, the band that won Float Like a Buffalo, again, those guys absolutely tore it up. They've been, you know, to Cervantes a few times, and they're heading back to summer camp with Spotify, iTunes, like Apple Music, Amazon links, and really good website, tour dates, and like all that stuff. We're just starting out. So I think like just being able to build that for like the rest of the year and like into next year obviously could like help when like those opportunities actually do come where we can like Hartwell was saying, like actually for provide sure. people with something.
For sure. For sure. Having that little bit of time to just continue getting the things ready is going to be worth it. Definitely. Definitely. You don't have to rush to get there. You know, it'll happen. It will. Oh, well.
You want to, though.
Oh, I don't, definitely sitting there like... doubt it. I don't doubt that you guys will. Your sound is really great. And, you know, I you've already met some really good key players that will be able to help you. You know, get you kind of where you need to go. So
absolutely.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's just the love's awesome. So
I'm excited for and, you know, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, us too. We're pretty excited for us too. Just like a lot of, I feel like, you know, just this, I mean, again, don't want to necessarily speak for anybody, but like this band and this group, like one, arguably best group of guys have been able to play with. Two, I think maybe in turn, the most momentum I've had of like any project. Of like, again, trying to slow down shows and like still have half a dozen to like choose from. And with the album, we're just like at this point, like not even a year into each other, like having to cut down like half of the originals we got and just focus on like, you know, this set that's actually going on the album, just like more live stuff for now.
Yeah, it's definitely, I can absolutely second all of that.
Yeah.
So,
but the momentum is, and it's crazy. Fun the whole time too. Like the big thing is like, yeah, like Mitch said, we all found each other on Craigslist, but you know, when I started looking, I threw out a couple of emails, and then, you know, I get an email back from Mitch. He just sends me this slew of covers that we're going to do, a couple originals. And, you know, it's like things from all of the bands that you've ever wanted to listen to or play a cover for. Right. So you know, he's got Talking Heads in there. There's a couple of Fish covers because, you know, everybody's got to play sand at some point in their life, right? But it's been all smiles since the first day I walked into the room, the first day that we all played together. It's been all smiles the entire time, and the music we come up with, and the just, you know, the momentum that comes from our positivity and just willingness to go out there has been so much fun to be a part of.
Yeah,
definitely. I just think there's a lot of like of a yes attitude, because especially like speaking of our first time meeting, like Heartland, especially, are just like, all right, we got a couple tunes and all that, and we were going over them, and then, you know, just starts like dicking around on Front Porch, and it's like, all right, yeah, just like joined on in, and it was like, well, would you guys actually want to learn that? It's like, yeah, all right. Like Skylar had maybe didn't even like know what the song was, but we just like just jumped into it, and like first practice, it was like, all right, well, we got that on the list now too. So like, you know, being able to like again have just like a lot of what anybody is kind of like thinking or bringing to the table, it's been like a lot of like yes and like how do we work with this. So definitely like that too.
It's exciting,
and having all the talent to pull off something like an Umphrey's cover too has been pretty cool.
Yeah.
To be fair, that's way more one of their basic songs compared to what those guys have written, but still, yeah, definitely.
So, Mitch, I need to hear this Jake Spotify story.
Okay, sorry, Sky. I feel like this guy's probably heard it more than anybody, but...
Sorry, it's a good story.
So, like, a bit of, like, even a prelude to it. So, 2009 first year I've started seeing Umphrey's, went up to Higher Ground for a 3-night run, and there were these guys that I met the second night. They were just like, dude, saw you last night, like get the fuck down, like must really like these guys too. And so we started talking. I've been able to like fly out to California for this guy. He's flown back to New Hampshire to just like see me, and like, you know, that dude absolutely loved. And so we kept in contact just ever since. And when Umphrey's posted about summer school, he was just like, dude, this is fucking incredible. And I was just like, yeah, I'm definitely going. And so he ended up getting his ticket too. And the plan was to just have him just at the festival, pick up his stuff, and then just be able to like get there. So I got a rental car like ahead of time and all that stuff, but got to pick it up, and they were just like, yeah, you're not 25, so you can't do this. It's like, huh, so wonder how they're gonna get from New Hampshire to New York. So my second time, fortunately, wasn't there to say no, but my brother had a stick shift car there, and so I was just like, all right, well, let's really hope this goes over well. So second time driving a stick, went from New Hampshire to like Mass to pick up Moose's stuff, then down to New York, and thank God I actually made it there in the first place. And so with that, the biggest reason why, you know, I just like wanted to go, and especially with Moose and actually get his guitar, was because he posted that he had a lesson with Jake, and he's like, best email I've ever gotten in my life, and was just like posting that. And I didn't even know they were offering lessons. And so I just hit him up ahead of time, and it was just like, yo, are you guys by chance doing it? And Louie was just like, yeah, sorry, the spots are all filled up, but we'll keep you in mind and all that stuff. So I at least got Moose's gear so he could have a lesson with him. Tuesday, the very second day, at the end of it, they were just like, oh yeah, we opened up like some more lesson spots. Like, you know, you can go to the back to maybe sign up. And I just like booked it. It was just like, all right, yeah, definitely got to do that. Fortunately, my name was like already on the blackboard, and so I just like saw that 7 o'clock Mitch with Jake, and so I was just fucking ecstatic, just walking my back to the tent like super happy camper, and there's Jake just right in the field smoking a chillum, admiring the colors of upstate New York. And so we just started like shooting the shit a little bit, like talking about music, different hybrid picking practices, different like guitarists, and like, you know, that was really great to do. And he told me to just go back to the campsite and like write out some stuff I wanted to go over. So we did like, again, like hybrid chords and like, you know, different chord patterns, guitarist he really likes, and like some tapping stuff. And at the end of the list, it was just like 3 letters just bolded out, just like jam. I was like, dude, if we could even do this for a little bit, that'd be so great. So I was just like, yeah, sure, fuck it, let's do it. So he started playing a progression, just going back and forth between two chords. And it was just like, kind of reminds me of like this, and like just put another one. And he was just like, oh, what is that chord? Mentally, it was like, did he actually just ask me that? Physically, it was just like, it's just like an A thing. You just do the root and the third. So with that, moved it down to G. And we started looping that, and like he took a solo, I took a solo, he took a solo, and like I was just buzzing the whole time. And so he recognized it and was like, just casually mentioned it offhand, like, dude, that was really cool. Don't be surprised if like that shows up in the show. I thought nothing of it. But after the second time of three times chopping up Der Blut and Cat, whole band just stops, and Jake just busts into Weird Fishies slash Arpeggi, the song I just taught him how to play in our lesson. I almost start crying in the audience. I'm fucking losing it. And like, he's just yelling back to Chris, like, yo, sing it. Like, I don't know if the band knew what was happening, but Chris just like starts singing it. They go into it. And so they officially debuted it that year in full at Red Rocks, and like Moose was there. It's just like, oh my God, they're playing Weird Fishies. Like, dude, it's actually happening. Like, you know, just at the Red Rocks show. And after, it stayed in rotation, and they ended up including it on Live from the Beacon Theater that they released on Spotify. And very quickly, that version got millions of views, and for a little while at least was their number one song on Spotify.
Such a fun little story.
Bumps, even like, especially just like hearing the song, just like, just another great thing about music. Like, you know, you can have an association with a song. It just like instantly puts you back in like a great place of just like where you were for it. So yeah, glad I got to experience that.
Yeah. So Luke, I would love your take on Chris Myers.
Probably the best drummer in the scene, aside from Mike Greenfield, but that's my personal
Mike
opinion
Greenfield
here.
Was on my show recently. You guys should check out that episode. He is the coolest fucking dude ever. Like, seriously, he's so awesome and an amazing drummer. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I've never got to meet the dude, but I've heard good things. But yeah, I'll check that out for sure. But I think Chris might have the edge in technique, in like speed of playing, but I do like Greenfield's style. That's just my take on it.
Yeah. I feel like it's very interesting, because I've talked to a lot of different drummers and asked them about their take on Chris. And for some people, they've said kind of what I think that you're just kind of alluding to is, you know, his technicality is really good, but some people feel, you know, maybe it's a little bold, a little too bold. And Greenfield's a little more laid back, so I can kind of see how you would get that vibe.
Yeah. Chris plays a lot of notes. Let's
yeah.
put it like that.
That band plays a lot of notes.
Yeah.
That's the only difference, though. I think they're both great.
So Skylar, you're like the newer fan. You two are the newer fans of the group, the newer Umphreys guys of the group. So what is your opinion of the band? You're more of the Fish guy. So I like to always think of what people who are more into Fish think of Umphreys, because usually it's not very very favorable. I found a lot of like diehard Fish hands hate Umphreys.
Okay, well, I will say I used to be in that boat, but I'm not so much anymore.
Okay.
Just to set the record straight.
As of 40 minutes ago.
You know what I'm talking about. You know I'm not just talking shit right now. That is a true thing. I have, you know, a lot of friends, yep. And there are some friends that are just like hate on Umphrey so hard because like Fish is their band. And it's like, it's okay. You can like other music. It's okay.
For
like,
sure. I mean, I was first exposed to Fish when I was like a kid, you know, like 6, 7 years old. So yeah. I just kind of grew up listening to it. And I've always, I mean, Trey's like my biggest influence on guitar, you know. Yeah. I aspire to him like so much, you know. He's just fucking awesome dude and awesome musician. But that aside, I mean, I saw Umphreys for the first time at Peach Fest, I think 2016, I want to say, maybe 17. And so that was like my first kind of exposure to that band, you know, along with a lot of other newer jam bands like Pigeons and Twiddle and Dopapod and Aqueous and all these guys, you know, that I grew to love a lot. Umphrey's personally didn't really hit for me at the time. You know, like I was more into the more like groovy, kind of dancey, funky side of jam band. And like the sets that I saw, which were probably just those sets, were just super like heavy. And, you know, I was more in my like era of just being a, you know, dirty hippie that was into like grooving, you know. Sure. Like, I don't know. It just seemed a little bit too hardcore for me, I guess.
For sure.
You know, but I don't know. I will say I saw him last summer at Red Rocks with the band, actually. And it was a much more enjoyable concert. And I don't know. It's just part of maturing as a musician sometimes is growing your appetite to different types of sounds and, you know, palettes of music. And I definitely feel like that it happens, you know, sometimes a band just takes a little longer than other ones.
For sure.
It's like Enter Sandman.
Well, I think it's the complexity of you know, the way that they play and their originals and stuff. And that's why it can be just kind of off-putting. And some people, you know, there's definitely Umphrey's tunes that, I mean, I danced and everything right up there on the rail. So I can't say this, but I'm sure for other people would feel that some of their music isn't very danceable. So I think that is probably like a turnoff as well. But it's interesting because I personally don't like jam bands. I that's not like really my thing. And I think that Umphrey's has really kind of gotten lumped into that category because of their songs jam. And so that's a really good place to put them where people are going to come and see them. Cause like we don't have music like we did in the 70s. And so you wouldn't have a music festival that would echo that. So that is why I feel like they're lumped there. I call them improvisational progressive rock. That's what I mean, I was raised on Genesis and Yes and all the 70s progressive rock is what I was raised on. And so that's why I love Umphrey's is because it speaks to that side of it. And you know, then all their covers, all the other things that I like along the way, and you know, it peppers all
Rush.
The musical stuff. And yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. So, I mean, all of that is exactly why I really got turned on to Umphrey's was because of that. But it makes me, I'm like, Umphrey's is not a jam band, though. Like,
that's why. I think they scare a lot of the hippies. Like,
yeah.
It's just so goddamn metal. Because, like, I mean, I even saw him at, like, Gathering of the Vibes when that was still a thing, like back in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and Stasic immediately just gets up there with an Iron Maiden shirt, you know, just this bloody soldier at like this happy hippie festival. So like, you know, that can happen. And like, I do think again that like metal edge, like the jam band's not known for that. And I mean, I think it's again like a bit more of like a groovier place. So I do think that like the heaviness can like turn off some bands. But it's interesting, speaking of like maturity, with their other brother band, basically Mo, I didn't like those guys for a while because
I've loved them forever.
And
I
like,
loved Mo for, and being from Buffalo, I've got a
definitely.
Lot of Mo
Absolutely.
Under my belt.
Yeah.
So
I just like, I feel like when I was just like so obsessed with Umphrey's, like, you know, I wanted that heaviness to it, and Mo's kind of like lighter, looser, groovier side. It was just like, meh, didn't really do it for me. Specifically, though, during like quarantine, it was just like, all right, let's give these guys a listen. Like, holy hell, these guys can play really well. They're really good writers. They got like a lot of really good material out there. They can jam for a while as well. And so
they also have a prog heavy side too.
Yeah,
they do.
Definitely have much more prog elements.
Like, honestly, Mo is the reason why I found Umphrey's. I went to summer camp to go see Mo because I was in like my following Mo around the country days. And I mean, I would go to Rochester. I mean, I could hit such a great radius and go to so many shows. And I found out I went to Mo Down, which is the best. I wish they would bring that back.
Down.
Oh, I never got to go to a Snowdown though, but I went to a couple Mowdowns and then somebody there was like, oh, you ever been to summer camp? And I'm like, no, what is this? And so I went to summer camp like totally, oh my God, I love Mo and everything else. And I left summer camp and was like, what in the fuck is this Umphrey's McGee? I need to know more about it. And from there, I haven't looked back. So, I mean, I still give the Mo guys a lot of love, you know, but they're the reason why I was able to find Umphrey's. So grateful for that.
Did you ever go to an All Good by chance?
No, I never did an All Good.
Just came into my head. That was the first time I saw Mo. So definitely nice. Holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah. That's,
although it is no more.
I'm telling you, back in like the early 2000s, it's like we would just get so many, especially like around here, you get shows and festivals and things and whatever. And it's just interesting to see all of that change now.
It's wild growing up when we're very spoiled in the jam scene.
Yeah.
Like you look back at like, you know, the 90s or God forbid you were born in the 80s and the Grateful Dead was literally the only species, like, you know, flavor of it. And if that wasn't super your thing, 70s, right?
80s. Yeah, basically.
Right. You're seeing Led Zeppelin instead. We get, you know, you got String Cheese, you got Umphrey's, you've got people who are doing bluegrass jam. Billy Strings is making a killing off of stuff like that, bringing back like the really old school classic bluegrass. And it's just, it's you feel spoiled, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, the Dead is still around, Fish is still touring, you pretty much get to experience, you know, the Genesis, the precursors, and then all of this crazy music that we get to listen to today. And I'm on your page. I don't like the term jam band at all. It drives me nuts, because like even the Grateful Dead, they would hang out with Miles Davis and Coltrane, and that's the kind of music they were trying to emulate, right? It's a jazz-based genre. The entire point is improvisation with form for like very skilled representation of music. And like distilling it down to like, they jam. It's like, it's a disservice to people like Umphrey's and Cheese, who put so much energy and time into curating that improvisation.
I just feel like it's a term itself that is a stigma, because
I was
like
just going to say that too, is I think like, people hear that and they're like,
yeah, well, I'm not going to lie. There are some jam bands that I have blocked on Spotify, so they won't play. So that happens. But at the same time, like, I mean, I do feel that like any band that has kind of structure and improvises live jam band, like instantly, and they're just kind of lumped in there.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, you know, just like Bayless was making fun of it one time. It's just like, yeah, we got time for one more, but we're a jam band, so at least it'll be a long one. And so like any like band that has like kind of like longer material or improvises, I feel like are kind of lumped into that. And for a while, I was just like, yeah, I maybe don't want to be associated with like X, Y, and Z. But there's obviously a lot of great bands in it and a lot of great musicians with it. And I mean, obviously, I feel like we have to more or less accept it now. Like, you know, we improvise on stage, therefore, like jam band category.
We
we're going to
call
have
ourselves whatever we want.
Categorize yourself however you want to.
But the fans are going to categorize us however they want to. So.
And we don't identify like as a jam band.
I'm okay with the label, because again, it's just like the nature of the beast at the end of the day of us getting up there and improvising like jam band. I feel like that's going to be kind of the association.
It is. And I guess, especially where you guys are, it's not hurting you. So it's.
Yeah. No. This is a jam band
so,
mecca.
Yeah. Don't hate it. If it's
jam band capital of the country, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Everybody comes through.
Everybody.
Even in the band too. Like, we have so many different jam bands. Like, Luke is a huge Lotus guy, right? So, like, it all, we have a lot of different places that we're coming from with, you know, Fish, Billy are two of Skylar's favorites, right? And you bring that to the practice. You bring that to your improvisation as well. And it's awesome to have so many people with such good taste in music from different sides of the same coin.
Bringing different angles to it.
Yeah,
to
see, this is
common goal. Definitely cool.
It's very interesting, like, sitting here talking to you guys, you know, learning you're a Lotus guy, and I love Lotus too, and Billy Strings part is the part that intrigued me about you, because I fucking love Billy Strings. And so, like, you guys coming together and what you just said about you having your own tastes and bringing that into your jamming makes sense why I enjoyed your sound, because, like I said, a lot of jam bands, I'm like, that person cannot sing, so they need to stop. Like, that. Like, or
it's a common
like
issue.
Something
not gonna name
else
names,
is happening,
but,
and they
oh,
need to stop
man.
Doing that too, please. Like, I'm just No. It's just so no. I dig your guys' sound.
I really hope she
thank you.
Appreciate it.
I really hope
yeah, thank you.
Hear this someday, but I am going to contact David Lemieux, the Dead's archivist, and see if I can get Grateful Dead recordings without Donna's track in there. If he can press those for me on vinyl someday, I would love that.
If he could do that for everyone in the world, I think they would need to give him like some national honor because he did a service for all of us music
taking
fans.
Out a dying screech owl and playing in the band. Jesus Christ.
I can't lie. I like some shows at Donna for sure. So
And there's some of them where I'm wondering, like, is everybody just really that fucked up right now that nobody is hearing this? Like,
I mean, in what world does somebody approach a band like, oh yeah, I would love to join the band, but my wife has to join too.
Only at that time. Only at that time.
Cracks me up.
The nepotism. The nepotism in the hippie industry.
And then everybody in the Grateful Dead went for it, too. It's funny. I don't know.
Yeah, because of the time frame and where they were. And, you know, the whole thing. Like, that's the only reason. That would not fucking fly now. Do you think that would have worked with any of you guys?
No.
Hey, Mitch, can my girlfriend join the band?
No.
Yoko made it cool.
Next question.
Everybody wanted to Yoko. Yoko made it cool.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to Yoko.
Oh, my favorite thing that I've ever seen for anything about music is it was circulating a little bit like 3-4 years ago, but it's the video of her playing with Lennon on national television, and they're playing with somebody. I can't remember who they played with. It was
Chuck Berry.
Clapton.
They're playing with Chuck Berry.
Dude,
and
the
halfway
look
through
on her face when Yoko starts singing is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, they close up and he's just like, oh my god, what's she doing? And she does it for a couple of seconds.
His face is literally like, what the fuck is coming out of her mouth? Like, there's just,
I know, like, I'm doing this. There's millions of people watching me do this, and you brought her. And then halfway through the video, like halfway through whatever, you know, the yodeling or whatever she's doing, the mic cuts, and you can tell that she doesn't know the mic's dead because she keeps going. And the whole rest of the band, it's like the tension just leaves their body. They're like, okay, we can keep going. We can do this.
The 70s were a wild time, man. I'm telling you. And all
her
this happening on
enough.
TV. Like, that's one of my favorite clips ever. Just his face.
Dude, yeah,
is just, oh.
Oh,
it's so good. His face is like horrified and shocked and pissed. And just all the things at one time. It's funny. He's like watching a cat being skinned or something. He's just like, oh, it's
so scary. I didn't sign up for this.
On TV. Like, woof.
That's how you know that Lennon gave zero fucks, because when he was like starting out the Beatles, he used to always talk about how, like, you know, Chuck Berry was such an influence for them in the early days. You know, they mentioned Chuck Berry is such an influence to the Beatles, and then they get older and, you know, he becomes super famous and he plays with Chuck Berry and brings his wife and does that. Like, that is ultimate, like, Lennon gives zero fucks. Like, he's like, yeah. She's coming with me. I don't care. She can't sing.
Rockstar mentality, I guess.
Yeah.
At its finest.
Yeah. Do you know how much I'm getting paid to be here? I'm going to do whatever I want.
For sure. Oh, that is fantastic. That's so great. All right. So how has Umphrey's influenced your playing? And I guess the guys who are the Umphrey's fans can more attest to the second part of this question, is how has Umphrey's inspired you on a personal level?
Do you guys want to start, or what do you think?
I could go first. So there are a lot of the reason I started playing music the way that I did. You know, I was like every other 16-year-old. I picked up a guitar, wasn't instantly like, you know, Clapton or anything, so kind of lost interest in it. When I started getting back into the jam scene, I was seeing a lot of people like the Motet and stuff, a lot of funk. So I would, you know, Garrett Sayers, I was like, well, bass seems kind of cool. Like, that's kind of a cool instrument. So, you know, naturally started gravitating towards that because of the funk. And then, I mean, the first time you see them, and like, if it's something that clicks with you, it's just insane. Like, the fact that people can do that with music is just step one. Like, yes, I would love to do that. Right? Like, that looks like the most fun I've ever seen anybody have in the world. The party is insane. People are raging their faces off. This is incredible. So, you know, you instantly, if you even have a slight inclination towards music, you go home and that's what you're trying to replicate when it clicks. Right? And then the more you learn about them specifically as a band, the more that you see them, the more that you start to uncover like the little things that really make a difference, right? And constantly, like recently when they released Raging Bull, the song that's like all of their builders and stuff like that, yeah, there's a lot of respect that comes from that kind of knowledge as a musician, because you realize like not only did I start to recognize these little tags and stuff, but this is formalized. Like, that is the difference, right? They're not just going into these jams blind. They're not starting things off blind. They tailor the energy of the show very, very fine tuned, right? If we aren't playing heavy enough and we want to play heavier and we want to bring the energy of the crowd up and the energy of what we're playing up, we have pre-written things that we can reference in order to cause that kind of excitement. And then just, you know, when you experience their jams, when they don't hit it right off and it's not clicking and they just like, you know, somebody waves their hand like, hey, this stinks, and they just move on. The professionalism, the lights, the production, the writing, just everything about it just makes you want to do better. It makes you know that people have done things like this before. You can definitely do stuff like this. Okay. All you have to do is just try, right? Yep. And you learn their songs, you start hanging, like checking it out more. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be in this band. I wouldn't be the musician I am today without that kind of influence, specifically from them in my case.
Love it. Love it. All right. Mitch, yeah, you want to go next?
I'm definitely going to attest to that too. Because yeah, just like, again, seeing them for the first time on like my 18th birthday, it was just like, all right, these guys I need to know a lot more about. And like just discovering a little bit of the discography and trying to play it, that's the big thing that like drew me in. Just a lot of like the different tempo changes, chord progressions, key changes that are like found within like one song or even like a couple minutes with those guys, being able to, you know, do some of the licks. And I will say, like, nowadays I think way more than ever, you know, obviously trying to like, you know, always come up with like a great vocal melody or like guitar melody, but way more into harmonies than anything. And those guys do a phenomenal job with that, like both vocally and instrumentally. And so that's been like, you know, just huge, I think, in like showing up a ton in like my writing like nowadays more than ever. And so that, like, the dual guitar approach I absolutely love. And I do think those guys are one, like, some of the most talented musicians out there, period. Two, for being as good as they are, I'm so surprised at, like, how humble and down-to-earth they were. Just multiple times, that, like, at summer school, I was, like, you know, just geeking out, sitting next to him and trying to buy Bayless a shot. And he was just like, dude, band drinks for free. So he, like, ended up getting me a shot. And we were just, like, geeking out over Stanley Jordan for, like, 5 or 10 minutes. And so with that, like, other, and just that guy like being in the room and like, you know, being able to shoot the shit with him, Jake was showing me different rolling techniques like later that night, and just like those guys actually being there and wanting to like interact with you is just like, what the hell, because not every band is gonna do that by any means. And so those guys, one, being super appreciative of their fans, two, showing it by wanting to and going out of their way to like create events to be able to, like, that part of them I definitely really admire and like kind of aspire to a lot too.
On that note, I would love to do something like that if we were ever big enough to do so, you know. It's definitely a really cool opportunity.
Well, and it was such a cool opportunity for people. Like, it just, there's, I've been interviewing people for this podcast since 2018, and there have been so many people that have been on the show that have attributed to going to summer school being, you know, whatever the catalyst was for them. Some of it was not even musically, because they had other workshops there for other things in the music industry. And I have talked to so many people that can trace summer school back to, like, this was so valuable to me, not only just getting that cool connection with Jake or Brendan or whatever, but just the valuable knowledge that you got was, you know, helped them do what they are doing now.
And just again, wanting to like, and even freely sharing that, like, oh, these are some of the recording techniques we found. This works really well for touring festivals. You might not get paid that well initially, but they're great networking opportunities and lead to more connections, get your font bigger later. So like them going into that and just like, you know, this is like part of our success nowadays. Like, here you go. Like, you know, hopefully this can like help you with that too. Like that I absolutely love about him too.
Badass.
So again, like I said, I was being stalkerish on your social media to just learn more about you guys, of course, and want to listen to more of your sound and all of your different songs you've covered and played and everything today. One thing I liked, though, was the Wax Wednesdays that you guys have been doing. I think that's really fun. Recent one's
so great. Turned into like kind of a skit comedy thing after like a while, just like doing the weirdest things we could think of, you know. Really, I just like hijacked the Instagram one day and tried one like months ago, and then I don't know, we just decided to run with it for a little while.
You know what, speaking from somebody who has been working on building social media networks and everything for a couple years now, things like that are going to just be so great in getting followers, as cheesy as they sound and everything like that. And once you have so much of your own material and you can throw it on there too, like it's cheesy, but it's great because you're talking about albums and maybe somebody doesn't know about, or maybe they forgot about and they're going to listen to. And so that's just sure. It's fun. It's fun.
It's like part of being a musician nowadays is being a content creator. You know, it's something you have to do.
Yep.
And that's just something that sometimes a hard pill to swallow, that you can't just spend all your time playing music, but you just try to come up with unique ways to do it and make it fun, you know, and it doesn't feel like, I don't know, work or anything like that.
Yeah, that was the thing about him. Just like when Skylar started with him, it was just like, you know, just a cool peel behind the curtain of just like, oh, fuck yeah, it's a cool album. Like, you know, again, maybe people haven't listened to it or like, you know, gotten to see the artwork like blown up as opposed to this little picture on Spotify. But then Heartland came over and we were like just filming a bunch of them. And he was just like, yeah, I'm going to do this like really snazzy intro while I'm introducing Boston. And from there, it was just like, all right, Skylar, you should face the opposite wall the whole time and then have Heartland turn you around to the camera. Maybe you should go in on a skateboard and have both of you pick it up because it weighs so much. Maybe we should have Heartland just sleeping and then waking up to Feel So Good by Chuck Mangione. So again, like, you know.
Gotta make it fun.
Yeah. I really love about it. And so, yeah, definitely would love to like, yeah, just have the borderline like sketch comedy aspect like built into it too.
It's good though. And it has a great vibe around you guys too. It really shows that, you know, while you guys mean business on the stage, you're all just having a lot of fun. And it's a really good vibe when someone's visiting your page or checking you out for the first time. And that's one of the great things with Umphreys is they've turned me on to so many other bands with the covers they did, or, you know, just along the way of being an Umphreys fan, I've either discovered or rediscovered other bands. And that's such a cool thing that you're doing is, you know, helping other people discover albums that, you know, maybe they don't know about. So that's cool.
Yeah.
You gotta know about them. Yeah. Chuck Mangione. You have
if
to know
you don't
Chuck
know,
Mangione.
Then you know now. So that leads me into my have some rapid fire questions. So we'll like ask each question, we'll have all the answer it, and then we'll do the next one. So we get everybody's answer. So that leads into my first question, which is the album that changed your life.
How the West Was Won by Led Zeppelin. I'd never heard anything like that before. It was borderline classical with Jimmy Page's solo. And that moment when I heard it, I was like, this is what I want to do for a living. I want to make rock and roll music and just do that as a profession, do something like this, because that's fucking incredible.
Animals by Pink Floyd. I first heard that album, I like listened to nothing else for an entire month. I was obsessed with that album. Like, I loved Pink Floyd already, but once I found that, it was like a whole new door, a whole new world opened. It like inspired my playing so much at the time. And yeah, so definitely that.
Nice. All right. Who else wants to answer
next? I'd have to say the Black Album by Metallica.
Nice.
It was the first album I was ever given. I was like 10 years old. Yeah, it changed my life. Yeah. I looked at music differently after that.
Yeah, everybody looked at music differently after that.
Good point.
All right.
Heart.
Boston by Boston.
Nice.
I think
just
as far as like powerful albums, like I didn't know music could be like that, right? Like growing up in the 90s, what were you listening to growing up, right? Like Britney Spears, NSYNC, it's what was on the radio, it's what your mom bought you because that's what all the other kids got, right? And then you get to middle school and your dad hands you a something from the 70s, and whatever it is has a pretty good chance of catching your attention when that's the kind of music you've listened to for your whole life. And my dad handed me a That's So Music 70s CD. It was the blandest thing ever. And halfway through, there was one song by Boston. I think it was Foreplay Long Time.
Yeah.
And instantly I was like, this is crazy. I didn't know you could even do stuff like that with music. Like, you know, I'm thinking like Elvis and the Beatles. Like I'd never been exposed to anything like that. So I went out and I bought Boston by Boston with some birthday money, and I mean, just back to front. It's amazing. The way that they approached music, like that stadium rock era in the 70s, was so just loud, loud, and lots of like strutting, dueling guitar solos, and just trying to be as crazy just for rock and roll's sake kind of concept just blew my mind.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Tyler and I probably could have guessed that one, but what cracks me up is that Heartland raves about that album and just like, yeah, they never produced a good song after that, but that album,
not one.
I love it. All right, first concert.
Oh man, do you remember your first?
Yeah.
Well, all I can good start. 2006.
Oh, okay. You spoiled.
I mean, Death Cab for Cutie. I was only 6 years old, so nice. I don't know if I really counted. Where the hell did you see Death Cab, Heart?
Death Cab for Cutie at Red Rocks.
Okay.
She was, this girl had tickets. She was really cute.
Great reason.
It's a great reason, though. It is. It's a good reason.
They slayed, if you were wondering.
I'm actually not too sure which one came first. I want to say it was actually the Allman Brothers nice. In New Hampshire. Yeah, with Derek Trucks. They're still kicking with that guy.
He had to be like young, huh? I mean, he's only like 40 or something anyways. I mean, he's not very old. He's like my age, so yeah.
Yeah, but still probably in his 20s, like one of the best guitar players that's played.
Unfair. It's almost unfair. All right, Luke, what about you?
My parents took me to see Def Leppard was my first concert.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
That's awesome. Vividly remember it.
That's sick. Okay. Song you wish you wrote.
Of ours or just like in the world?
In the world. Song you wish that you had written it.
Terrapin Station.
Okay.
It's my all-time favorite, probably.
Nice. Such a good song. I don't like The Dead, but I do like that song.
It's just a classic. I don't know. I could listen to that on repeat.
Yeah, I don't like The Dead, but I like Phil Lesh is definitely in my top five favorite bass players. So I think that's, you know, like that's why I really can, you know, get into The Dead as much as I can is because of Phil Lesh for sure.
That's a hot take. I like that. Anybody who's like into The Dead and doesn't say Jerry, you know, I'll listen.
Yeah, no, I mean, I enjoy Jerry's tone, but I don't know. It just it feels a little piercy for me.
Super trebly.
So it's just but I totally respect and get why, you know, why that's their thing, and I, you know, all of it. It's just it's not my my thing. Guitar tone is. I'm a guitar tone snob too. So you two should be like, yes, we're so glad she likes my song.
Yeah, I definitely am.
I am. I'm such a snob about it, but I ain't got no time for shitty music. So. All right. So song you wish you wrote.
Anybody else? I feel like I'm still thinking.
I got one.
Okay.
I got one.
What?
Puppet Strings.
Nice. That is a good song. That is
also
a good song.
Yeah.
Heartland calls us this a lot, and just people in general. I think this was an instance of you being a twat and still calling it Puppet Strings. even though you very well know it's just puppet string?
No, I'll call it what I want to. Now that song is amazing. That's the best song that's ever been written in the history of the world, as far as
that song is so like theological. If you really look at those lyrics, they're so just theological, and like Bayless pondering, you know, like what is beyond this world kind of, and like all of that afterlife stuff and God stuff and everything. And you're just like, okay, Bayless, I see you.
I know you're listening to a hard rock song, and then all of a sudden they're talking about like religion's been manipulating you. You don't know what happens when you die. Let's just make something up and we can all just agree that it's what happens. You're like, you know, you're sitting there with long hair at like 18 years old, like thrashing your head back and forth, like, yeah, that's a good point.
Still thinking,
Luke?
Do you have an answer, Luke? Yeah,
I would have to say like YYZ or something, just because it's a banger on drums.
Yeah.
Or Tom Sawyer. I mean, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Definitely. Anything by Rush.
Anything by Rush. Yeah.
That's a thing. I just feel like songs we've written like almost anything in the Zeppelin catalog. I mean, Rainstorm, like Celebration Day, Achilles' Last Stand. I mean, there's that. All right, I will say, like, I love Unfreeze a lot. I actually love Fish a lot. Zeppelin's still my favorite band, and I'm gonna make this statement: I do think they're the best jam band out there. Like, there are like 20 half hour like versions of No Quarter, and just like the improv those guys were able to produce along with the Dead in the 70s. Very few other bands were doing, period. And they did a really fucking incredible job, especially at time period considered.
How the West was won, like you mentioned earlier. Definitely a prime example of that.
Yeah. Love it. Okay.
Mitch got like 12 songs. I only got one.
Yeah, I could name so many. Dude, there was like three.
I just did the first one that popped into my head. So.
I know, like I could start just listing all the Unfree songs too. It'd be sick.
All right, favorite meal.
Probably pad thai, to be quite honest. Just like a really good peanut sauce and veggies. Just it's a spot every time.
Nice.
Burritos.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
Can't go wrong.
I don't know if I'd consider it a meal, but bruschetta.
All right. Yeah.
All day.
Well, if you eat enough of it, it can be a meal though. Like if you're eating it, you can fill up on it loaves. For sure.
Bruschetta, yeah.
All right. How about you?
Filet mignon, I'd say. Nice. It's like a real good cut of steak. I don't care what else you give me with it. I don't care what you put on it. Just a real nice cut of steak.
Nice.
Medium rare, of course.
All right. Favorite movie?
Oh, yet again, another opportunity to share this. Of the past 40 years, Dune 2. I've already seen it twice. Probably going a third time next week. So that, I mean, is my favorite book, Dune in of itself, and just the adaptation of it, I absolutely love. Blues Brothers is still my favorite movie of all time, but of like the past four decades, Dune Part 2.
Okay, all right.
Big Lebowski, for sure. It's always been my favorite.
I've loved
that movie for years. I mean, Pulp Fiction is like I gotta say that too. He's right up there.
I could never get into that one.
I love Quentin Tarantino. He's my favorite.
The Gimp scene, though.
It's weird, but it's great.
But the entire time I'm rewatching the movie, I'm sitting there like, there's going to be that guy in rubber, and then he's going to get bent over the barrel. Like, oh man, here it comes.
It's good, though. I mean, arguably, it's one of the best movies that came out of the 90s.
It is. All right.
Hard, did you go?
No, you have to go.
All right. Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back.
Nice.
My favorite movie of all time.
Fuck yeah, I'm a Star Wars nerd, so fuck yeah.
Best Star Wars.
That's a good one.
All right.
Mine is Finding Neverland with Johnny Depp.
Finding Nemo.
No, that is a banger of a movie, though. It's a banger of a movie.
Harlan never grew past 8 to 5.
I stopped around 13, thank you. So I was just, you know, I was like, I can roll with this for another 70 years.
I love it. All right, what are you currently listening to?
Tool. Lots of Tool. Fear Inoculum, their new album specifically.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
Honestly, at least of like the past week or two, big surprise, Dune Part 2 soundtrack has been my most
favorite album
and the most played songs I've listened to.
You wouldn't believe how many times I've come home to that being played.
I'm gonna throw this out there. Beginnings are very delicate times, or something like that. I think it's beginnings are such delicate times. One of my favorite instrumentals on the planet. It's 9 minutes of beauty there. I love that song.
Nice.
Nerd.
Sure.
Nerd.
There's
takes
nothing
one
wrong
to
with
no
it.
One. Takes one to no one.
Honestly, I just paused some Papa Dozio on Spotify. I don't normally listen to Dozio, but they just came out with a new single, and I've been rocking it for the past day and a half.
Nice.
It's pretty good.
Nice.
I've been listening to a lot of like old school funk and stuff like that. Always a lot of reggae. I love reggae. It's like the other musical scene that I've always like embraced a lot, you know.
Nice.
So yeah, that stuff, pretty much the same old stuff I always listen to.
I love it. All right, well, that's everything I have on my list of things. Is there anything that I didn't cover you guys wanted to make sure that we fit into the episode?
I think that was essentially like everything and some.
We really appreciate the opportunity to jump on this with you too. I mean,
I really, really just, I love you guys, and this has been so much fun, like just to talk about all the stuff. And I was like, I was literally crying and laughing. Like, this was so much fun. So why don't you share where everybody listening can find you guys on social media, your website, and then remind us real quick your show's coming up.
For sure. So, I mean, we're at least like working our way towards the major platforms, but we do have like SoundCloud, Bandcamp, even on our website. Pretty most active like on Instagram for sure. I think at this point do have at least a decent amount of samples, but yeah, with right now mainly Bandcamp and SoundCloud focus, and then obviously with as soon as we like really get going with Ganser and like, you know, putting out the singles there, definitely looking forward to, you know, getting on Spotify, Amazon, hopefully eventually with enough good buzz, Nugs down the road. That'd be sweet.
And for the Instagram is Polisanto Music, and website is www.polisanto.com.
I think it's just polisanto.com, oddly enough. The W's, yeah, that might be weird.
Bad. Yep. Just polisanto.com.
Interwebs.
Yeah. Just wanted to throw that out there.
And you guys, you're on Facebook too. So people, if they do the Facebook thing, you're there too. And I think I followed you on TikTok. I'm still like learning that whole TikTok thing.
Oddly enough, I forgot about it. Yeah.
But, I don't know. I'm trying.
I do think it has at least been like a pretty good platform for us, because like even just us like going to shows and posting the likes of Squeaky Feet and like Dogs in a Pile, like those have been some of our most like viewed videos. And those guys are like viewing the profile, and like our bassist just started following us from Dogs on like Instagram too. So like, you know, at least another platform to like connect with people for sure.
Yeah, that's really what it's about, is that connecting and being able to reach each other. I mean, that's how we found each other. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's really great.
Seriously.
That, you know, we're able to connect that way. So that's awesome. So again, remind us of the shows you got coming up. So if anybody's in the area, they can come check you out.
April 13th, we'll be playing at a place called Larimer Lounge here in Denver. And then May 5th, we'll be playing at Globe Hall. And then we're also doing two more Battle of the Bands this month. If there's anybody listening that's up in the Conifer area or the Manitou Springs area, we'll be there on Manitou Springs on the 28th and Conifer on the 30th.
Awesome.
And then fortunately, yeah, the Mishawaka Connection is going to be playing at 8:30 North on July 6th as well, up in Fort Collins.
Exciting, exciting. Awesome. Well, this was a lot of fun, guys. It was a pleasure meeting you and getting to hang out with you this Saturday afternoon, evening, whatever it is now. Oh my goodness, we were on for like 2 hours. This was so much fun. This is so much fun.
Well, thanks so much for hosting. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great conversation.
Yeah. It's a great time. Thank you, great time. Sarah. Yeah.
Are you coming out to Red Rocks, Humphreys?
I think I might be coming out to Red Rocks. I think I might be coming out. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. If I'll be there, let me know. You guys up for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I'm allowed to disclose this, so I'm going to put it in very vague terms. There might be a venue that Humphreys is playing that they've never played at, in maybe in Colorado, maybe for New Year's Eve. So they do that. Yeah. Hopefully that was vague enough. So
I will definitely be in town if New Year's is there. I will 100. If it's New Year's, of course I'll be there.
Let's go.
So yes, if New Year's is there, then that I will definitely see you guys then for sure.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, keep me updated on everything that's going on with you guys.
Definitely. Right?
Absolutely. And, Thank you so much again.
Of course. Yeah, and don't hesitate to reach out if you guys need anything, okay?
Absolutely. And we'll send you some clips.
Yes, do that.
As soon as we got some more singles and stuff, would love to know what you hear about them or what you think about them for sure.
Awesome. I will definitely give you my honest opinion. So
sounds good to us.
That's what we need.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great night.
Awesome. All right. Thank you.
You too.
You too. Bye. Great to meet you.
Bye.
You too. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. Please be sure to leave a review of the show. It would mean so much to me, and it helps get this podcast into the ears of even more fellow music fans. If you're not already following the show on social media, find us on Facebook and Instagram at Dropped Among This Crowd Podcast, or check out DATCmediacompany.com for more. Thank you again. I'll see you around these parts real soon. Mad love.